Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael of the Faith and Freedom Show back here again. As we went to the break, just before we went to the break, I was talking about something. We had a visitor last week, so I'm going to go ahead and read from the email that I had from his. He just gave me an email update about what's going on. He said, Mr. Jeff Dickstein, you can find out more about this at jeffdickstein.com. Yesterday, oh, by the way, before we go here, as I was on the break, I'm thinking about the biblical precepts as I was thinking of this issue. So we don't always convey my opinion exactly of what I think about an issue. Sometimes I just put it out there to poke you in the brain a little bit, hoping it'll stir some thought and challenge people to consider the basis of why they think what they do. And the reason why, I'd like everybody not to just abandon their basis. There's some folks who are trying to get everybody in the world to just forsake their worldview. What I'd like somebody to do is actually rethink your worldview into something that's sound. How's that? Yesterday, the Federal District Court in Chicago dismissed the summons enforcement case brought by the IRS to obtain the names and addresses of those who obtained the information provided by Bill Benson regarding the non-ratification of the 16th Amendment. When the IRS failed to obtain an order in the injunction case to obtain the so-called customer list of Bill Benson, they served Bill with an IRS administrative summons to obtain the same information. They were trying an administrative cause because their judicial one had been sidestepped a little bit. Bill responded by claiming his rights under the First and Fifth Amendments. In other words, I'm not going to answer your question. So that's, he pleaded the fifth, so to speak. Freedom of association, the freedom to not be searched without, unreasonably searched, not self-incriminate, right? So why give information about yourself when somebody's after you? The government followed up with a summons enforcement action. So that would have the court in basically telling Mr. Benson to do what they say. Yesterday, the court dismissed the case. That means the court dismissed what the IRS was asking the court to do. So I think that's a victory for Mr. If it's a sound judgment, it's a victory for everybody. Justice is an important element in our society. And you may have passions in one way or the other. You see, he's a big tax evader or some kind of criminal. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are elicited in our emotions that are elicited here as we're talking about things. So I wonder what you think. Our number here is 888-850-1872, 850-1872. I have a draft, he said. Mr. Dickstein sent this email. He says, I have drafted a petition for writ of mandamus to be filed in the 11th Circuit, that's a federal judicial circuit, I believe, asking them to order the district court judge, this must be in their Florida case, I think, to rule on issues of the 16th Amendment in a criminal case in Florida. Yes, I represent 2 of 13 defendants there. Just as in the Benson case, the district court failed to address the issues raised. I've seen this. Can I tell you, folks, you don't realize this happens in courts, but somebody might come in with a pile of factual information. The truth is supposed to be happening, and the way you get to truth is to examine the evidence. And there's times when the judges will not let evidence be presented, and they render their opinion as if they had examined the facts. And see, what happens is once a judge renders his opinion on a factual issue, it's very hard for it to be overturned. Now, the problem is, it's kind of crazy because you have to go to the appeals court and say, listen, the lower court didn't look at any facts. We brought facts and they ignored them and they just made their own perspective suddenly become, their own speculation suddenly becomes truth, right? Well, that's what happens. And you have to basically show that a judge did that and it was error because it was a complete indiscretion. They abuse their discretion. So that's what happens often in courts. Every time that I sit back and watch cases, I've had to be in courtrooms while other people were in court and things like that, and you kind of watch what happens. It's just kind of an efficiency thing. Let's just get this through my my docket here and you can make an appeal. Well, you know, not everybody has the wherewithal to make sure that they cross every T and dot every I to the nth degree just for the judges who are getting paid to not, you know, basically perform their tasks. And the appeals court doesn't want to have to retry every case. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So I think there's a lot of injustice that happens because of complacency. And I think violation of religion, even, by the judges. So if you want to comment on that, give us a call, 888-850-1872. This Mr. Jeff Dickstein at jeffdickstein.com, again, he emailed this to me, sent this by email to me. He said he represents two of 13 defendants in Florida. He says, just as in the Benson case, district court failed to address the issues raised. I expect the 11th Circuit, that is to actually, I guess, look at the facts. I expect the 11th Circuit to refuse to issue the mandamus. A mandamus, it's Latin for mandate. They exercise their power, their authority, the power they're given with the proper lawful authority to compel somebody by an order to act. Essentially, their mandate becomes law. That's what it becomes. And then we can take that denial to the Supreme Court. So he wants to take this up to the Supreme Court is what he's trying to do. So there will be two cases on the same subject matter. Of course, it'll be the same lawyer who's maintaining quarrels, yes, one civil and one criminal. I'm waiting to file the petition for writ of mandamus to obtain optimal timing with the filing of Benson's petition for writ of cert. So that's what Mr. Jeff Dickstein is doing. And he was really actually in his email, he was trying to encourage people who are involved in, I think he believes that, I don't know, I think people that listen to our show, there's a good number of them would be interested in this and supporting it. As armchair quarterbacking here, I don't know how readily this will be taken up by the Supreme Court. I think it'll probably be one of those things that they'd politically like to remain silent on. Depends on their docket. So let's see what happens here. It looks like Mr. Benson is really carrying the torch. There are other lawyers involved here that are have been pretty effective at defending clients in cases like this. And the clients that I've seen that have been defended in these cases, as I'm trying to do my armchair quarterbacking, I don't think are defendants that are really just a bunch of lawless people. A lot of these guys are motivated by law and a good faith consideration of some of these issues, and I think are trying to make sure that this stuff is actually handled in an orderly way. If you think there is something dysfunctional with a behavior of government, sometimes just the way you view things, if you think that the government is violating law, you're motivated at times to do what needs to be done to fix it. Sometimes it's by voting. Sometimes it's by getting on a political party. Sometimes it's by carrying a petition from neighborhood to neighborhood. Sometimes it's by putting yourself in a position where you're going to suffer, but your suffering may provide an opportunity to have an issue brought to bear in a court where the law can be argued. So that's you know, a lot of times I think people get a bad rap for doing that kind of stuff. A lot of times people are getting ignored. We have a gentleman named Greg Pound. The guy's being so completely violated by this insane steal your children because you're not a statist. It's really happening in Florida. It's sinful. It's wicked. It's satanic. Now, I don't know what kind of great silver lining will happen in the lives of these children who've been taken from their family because their family happens to have a biblical worldview. I mean, that's literally why this guy we've interviewed here, Greg Pound, had his children taken away from him and his wife. They weren't child beaters. They didn't beat their children. They were actually caught taking care of their children. And they had, something happened to their child. But actually, they didn't know if something happened to their child. The child was laying on the bed one minute. Somebody left the door open who was visiting. And that person who had a dog that was visiting with the person pushed the door open because the person visiting didn't close it properly. And the baby was dragged from one room into the other. Now, mom knowing, hey, my baby was on the bed. That's a 2.5-foot drop. And the baby's sleeping after nursing. We don't know if there's something wrong. We don't know. So she takes the baby into the doctor to find out, to have it scanned. You know, hey, is there anything did anything break on my baby? We don't know how it got from the bed to the floor, but, you know, visiting dog dragged baby into living room. So could you please check out my baby? In the meantime, Child Protective Services, who get their pay is proportional to their docket, to their caseload, put them on the caseload. Hey, you had an injury to your child, or at least a report of some kind of event here. So we're going to do a review on you, and we're going to write in a review that you're anti-government because you homeschool your children. And we're going to write on here anti-medical treatment for your children because you asked for a religious exemption from the vaccination requirements. I mean, this is really happening in Florida. And the guy's four kids got taken from him. So the guy's, he's, you know what he's trying to do? He's out fighting, not just for himself, but for everybody. And he's being ignored in Florida. What do you think about that? 888-850-1872. We had a caller. They dropped off the line. 888-850-1872. So there's a IRS kind of case thing we talked about, and some people are very passionate about that and have some opinions that way. And would like you to give us a call if you've got some opinions that way. Then what I'm going to do now is I'm opening up my list of items that I've been tracking with regard to what's going to be going before the Florida legislature here in this next legislative session. So here's one of the things that I saw recently. There's a real, I think this is important to a lot of people here. It's House Bill 151. I'm going to open it up right now so I can read it. And I get a little warning from my PDF file thing. It's the assessment of real estate. So if you're concerned, if you've got real estate, there's some changes being proposed for the next legislative session. Section 193.624 of Florida statutes is created to read. Now, what's really strange is they're adding a small section, assessment of residential property. This is a proposed addition, isn't it, folks? For purposes of this section, changes or improvement made for the purpose of improving a property's resistance to wind damage, and then it goes into a definition of that. So if you are creating secondary water barrier, hurricane-resistant shingles, gable-end bracing, roof-to-wall connections, storm shutters, impact-resistant glazing, hurricane-resistant doors. Now, watch this. It goes on to say renewable energy resource device with relation to doors. If you have solar energy collectors, photovoltaic modules, etc., storage tanks. Basically, if you're adding anything to your house with regard to and here it even lists windmills and wind turbines, wind-driven generators, and all kinds of things that would basically help you in your global warming economics of saving energy and protecting your house from being destroyed in a hurricane. What's happening? It looks like that's a big red flag to have your property taxes being reassessed. So if you're interested in that, that's going to be before the Florida legislature today. Did anybody tell you? I think actually this just came out in the last couple of days. It's just been recently proposed because I've been keeping a close eye on this. And it's going to be, so if you go to the internet and you type in a little search about Florida bills and Florida legislature, go to the House bills. It's House Bill 151. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to you about another one that's very, very recent. And this is a bill called the Killing of Unborn Children, House Bill 141. These things are of interest to you and, of course, your posterity. Kill your posterity, kill your prosperity. How's that? Keep tuning in to the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. You can check us out online now. We got our video streaming at faithfreedoms.org. And, of course, you can give us a call at 888-850-1872.